Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Of course, we also got news yesterday that a second case of monkeypox has been diagnosed in South Africa, specifically in Cape Town. It is the second case, and again, the person has no travel history. Professor Adrian Puren, Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Hal. Thank you very much. And yourself?
Great pleasure. In contrast to some of the other discussions we're having, at least when we get hold of you or when we approach you to speak to us about what the findings are, you are able to do so and willing. And I think that's important. Has that been a policy of the NICD to try and keep people as informed and be as transparent as possible?
Yes, it is. I think it's really critical because I think you as tax responsibility to inform the public as best we can.
So the latest information on monkeypox, where's this going? What is the current status here in South Africa?
Yeah, so I think it's somewhat difficult to say how this will unfold, but I think it was likely predicted that we would certainly have cases, but I think it's important that we do have good contact and tracing, and to ensure that those individuals that may have been exposed are put into isolation at least, or can be observed to ensure that they don't, if they do develop any infections, that they are then managed appropriately, as well as ensuring that we have the testing capability in terms of, as you can see, one case has already been identified in Cape Town, that we have the capabilities not only at a level of contact tracing, both forward and back tracing, but also laboratory testings as well to ensure that we are able to detect as early as possible to try and really limit transmission. Hmm. It's a different virus to coronavirus. As you can see, we've not seen an explosion of cases because it's not a great virus in terms of its ability to transmit from person to person. We really need that close contact. And currently, at least in Europe, we know in other places that this virus has been detected. It's in particular sexual or social contact. So for the general population, the risks are low. It's those particular networks where there may be high risk exposures, especially sexual contact, where this virus is being currently transmitted. But it's therefore important for us to manage this, to prevent as much transmission as possible in order for other networks not to...
Right, because it will move from one network, as you've called it, to another. Right. At this stage, though, in South Africa, is it still, as we've seen in Europe, predominantly within the male gay community?
Well, I don't know about that specific community, but certainly with the information that we have, obviously, is that so far it is in and mirrors what we've seen in Europe and other places, that it's the two cases are in young male subjects. Yes,
right.
That's correct.
At the state, and of course, as we said, that these things do generally or can move from one to the other. There was some confusion around the asking for COVID regulations to be used to track people who might be infected with monkeypox. Can you just explain that to me? Because it does seem a little, it was confusing for me.
Yes. So the conventional way in which, given this particular way in which this disease spreads, and like other viruses, I think contact tracing really is really a critical component. So, you know, we've seen this in Ebola, we see this currently in the current outbreak for measles, for example. The conventional approach is really to try and say, well, if we have this particular case, who are the other cases that could be out there that needs attention, medical care, as well as trying to prevent transmission? So therefore, making the diagnosis will really be critical. So the contact tracing is really a core component of this particular outbreak, as it has been. But in the case of COVID-19, of course, contact tracing becomes very difficult because of the rapid spread of this particular virus. So those circumstances, it really became not really much of an efficient tool. Whereas I think here, but it depends on the networks that are involved and the numbers, So it's very important to put in place a contact tracing network system in order to identify as many cases and contacts as possible to try and prevent transmission. But we're not calling as NICD for any reinstatement of any emergency regulations and so forth. But the convention certainly is, and that's what I think NICD has propounded, and so does the NDOH and the provincial NDOHs, is really to put in place a contact tracing mechanism in place to identify cases.
Yeah, and I think that is obviously very, very important. How important is it for us to be aware? In other words, I keep thinking, if it wasn't for COVID, would we even be having these conversations?
I suspect not to the same extent. I think there's obviously a heightened sensitivity. Social networks and social media play an important role. So that's really come to the fore. Similarly, if we were even to consider vaccines in South Africa, so similar arguments will certainly come to the fore. But I may be wrong, but I think this is different. I think there's a greater interest and awareness, and unfortunately comes with misinformation and disinformation as well. And in this particular instance, I think the stigmatization is also going to become highly problematic as well. Yes.
And that's where we leave it, Professor Adrian Puren, as always, bringing us an update on these critical things. Professor Adrian Puren is the Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases.